Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. How to change the course of a crooked and dark nation. Philippians chapter 2. How to change the course of a crooked and dark nation. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. And Lord, we do rest in you. I pray that the Holy Spirit now would have his way in each of our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to what? To will and to what? To do of his good pleasure. God has to work on both of those aspects to get us to have the will to do something, and then cause us to get up and do it. So it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a what? Crooked and what? Perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. In our class today, we talked about the weather. How many of you have ever complained about the weather in your life? Well, we're talking about in our class, you know, it's God that uses the weather to speak to man. God withholds the rain. Like in Elijah, say there was a wicked king Ahab. God withheld the rain for 3.5 years. And who suffers when God creates adverse weather because of sin? We all suffer. But boy, we miss those opportunities to use the weather for a witnessing springboard. But that's exactly what God uses. God uses famine. God uses the lack of rain. God uses too much rain. God uses hail, tornadoes, hurricanes. He uses all of that to get to mankind. As we was thinking in our class, God created perfect weather when he created man. It never rained. That means there was never any lightning or thunder. There was never any hail. There was never any snow. All of those things are the result of sin. Genesis 6, it was man's imagination was only evil continually, great violence on the earth. And that's when God sent the flood, and then our weather forever changed. And so I think about that here in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. But the flesh, our flesh wants to complain about the weather just as much as the world wants to. But oh, what an opportunity to say, you know why the weather is like this? That wasn't God's original design. It's because of sin. And we can tell them about a paradise to come if they'll repent of their sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and trust his precious sinless blood to save them. So, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the what? Word of life, the Bible, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And we haven't labored in vain. We haven't run in vain. Yesterday in the park ministry, I think it was Kelly that was singing when there was a man, oh, I'd guess him in his 50s or 60s. He walked in front of us. It would be on the north side of the park. And then he was stuck on the corner. And he was so nervous and fidgety. It about killed him to have to listen to that song. I tell you, I could just tell. He wanted to get out of there, but he couldn't. And so we haven't labored in vain. God works in hearts. You probably heard about what happened in California, just an example of our crooked and perverse nation. By the way, perverse means turned away from that which is right and good, perverted. And that's from Merriam-Webster's Levitt Collegiate Dictionary. And that fits California, what happened in California and the rest of this country and the rest of the world. But the LA Times actually printed a column by Tim Wildman. He took over for his dad, the American Family Association. And this was, I'll give you part of his editorial there. He says, the people of California spoke clearly at the polls in 2008 when they passed an amendment to the state constitution that defined marriage as a union between one man and one woman. The public debate was held. The media wars were fought. Both sides spent millions of dollars, and the people voted for Proposition 8 by a margin of 52% to 48%. So that's too close, but praise the Lord, at least it was in the right direction. They voted in favor of marriage is one man and one woman. But he goes on, the people's will carried the day as it is supposed to until U.S. District Chief Judge Vaughn R. Walker came along. Last week, Walker nullified the votes of over 7 million people. In his decision to invalidate the constitutional amendment, he wrote that the majority of California voters supported Proposition 8 is irrelevant. Here's a judge saying it does not matter that the majority of the people voted this constitutional amendment to the state of California. It doesn't matter that the majority of the people voted this. Here is one man who thinks his will is more important than the will of the voters of California. Well, he goes on to say that this judge is also a sodomite, and he should have recused himself. He should not have heard the case because it involves him, his lifestyle. He's a sodomite. So Tim Wildman goes on in his column to say, Congress almost never removes federal judges. The only way to get them out is to impeach them, and they almost never do that. He goes on to say that Thomas Jefferson warned about this possibility in a September 28, 1820 letter to William Jarvis. He says, you seem to consider the judges as the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions. A very dangerous doctrine indeed. Do you realize when our country was set up, judges had no authority to declare something unconstitutional? Their job was just to interpret the laws that were passed by Congress or by the people of America. It was not up to them to declare a law unconstitutional. That came along much later before they ever tried it. And the country should have shut them down as soon as the first time they declared something unconstitutional, the people of this country should have risen up and said, that's not your job. And it was not their job because it makes them the ultimate authority. It removes the checks and balances. There's supposed to be a judicial, a legislative, and what's the other one? Executive branch, the president. Now judges reign supreme. No one can shut them down unless someone rises up. He goes on, Thomas Jefferson said, the Constitution has erected no such single tribunal. Knowing that to whatever hands confided with corruptions of time and party, its members would become despots, and that's what they have become. The founding fathers understood the selfish and sinful nature of man, and therefore divided the government up so that no one branch would be all-powerful over the other branches or over the American people. And so he goes on. In his ruling, Judge Walker wrote, the evidence shows conclusively that moral and religious views form the only basis for a belief that same-gender couples are different from opposite gender couples. Let me read that again. This judge wrote, the evidence shows that conclusively that moral and religious views form the only basis for the belief that same gender couples are different from opposite gender couples. He's saying The only reason the voters of California voted this proposition in is because of their religious and moral basis. Those are the only basis for considering sodomites as unnatural and sinful. So what is he saying of himself? He, the judge, rises up and says, I don't like this law. I'm overturning it. Well, he's saying he is not moral and he's not religious, and we already know that. He doesn't have to tell us. So it's clearly a judge imposing his sinful lifestyle against the will of the people of the state of California. I go on here. If moral and religious values are no longer valid, what does the judge put in their place? I would suggest, as Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, that we continue to rely on and revere the laws of nature and nature's gods. Well, we are, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We need to pray for Judge Walker. Number one, that he would repent of his sin and get saved. And if he will not, number two, that our Congress would impeach this federal judge. He is wicked and perverse. Why are we living in a nation like that? Because we're living in a nation where the churches will no longer preach against sin. I couldn't tell you how many news articles I've gotten of churches that try to butter up sodomites, even ordain them into the so-called ministry. That is what is wrong with our nation. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Until the pulpits start thundering out the truth again, things are not going to change in America. I mean, why was that vote so close in California? 52% to 48? The ship is almost sinking without Judge Walker. I mean, the water of wickedness, the moral cesspool is coming up and is almost going over the boat. It's the way it's going. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who so judged the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, what? Preach the word. It didn't say discuss it. It's amazing. So many of these media religious personalities are no longer preaching. It's a discussion. Radio Bible class used to be preaching on the radio, actually from the King James Bible. What is it today? Well, the last I heard, which is probably been years ago now, it's like a round table discussion between two men and a woman. And she doesn't give them any slack either. I mean, she puts her two cents in there. What is wrong? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, what? Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. You know what happens when something comes out of season and they never allow you to shoot that animal? They multiply. If you could see what I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at a whole bunch of cranes. Not those. Those out there. A whole bunch of them. This morning when I came, our backyard of the church was filled with cranes and geese. They don't have any problem intermingling, I guess. They're all one big happy family back there. So, as far as I know, you can't kill a crane. No season. And that's the way it's getting in America. There's no season on sin anymore. They're trying to shut it down. They're trying to shut the preaching down. That's the whole basis of the hate crimes law, is to shut Christians' mouths, to get them to be quiet, to quit saying that sodomy is a vile and natural sin. That's what that judge's whole agenda is. To shut down Christians. And of course, you may say, well, in America, they would never burn books anymore. Oh, yeah? if they can, people like Judge Walker, it won't end just with us. It's this book. It's this book that they hate. because it condemns their sin. But are we ashamed? Look in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. The Lord burdened my heart at the park yesterday to talk about tattoos. And it was no mistake. Because who should walk along? But there's two young men. They must be brothers because they look just alike. Downtown, they're always walking downtown. One of them works at Myers now. And those boys, a lot of times, they don't cover themselves too well, and they have a lot of tattoos. And I feel so bad for these young fellas. They're trying to impress their unsaved friends, obviously. So I began to speak about tattoos and who should walk along but one of those brothers. And I could just tell he was nervous, just, you know, looking around. And, of course, doesn't have all of his flesh covered, and here's all these tattoos, and here I'm up there preaching about tattoos. Mark chapter 8. I guess I'm in Matthew 8, but Mark chapter 8. Listen, we've got to quit being ashamed of God's word. In Mark chapter 8, in verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul? They can gather all the things they want to, but if they lose their soul, they've lost it all. Verse 37, or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the what? Holy angels. Verse 38, are we ashamed of God or of his word? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words and this adulterous and sinful generation? It's easy not to be ashamed of the Lord in here. It's easy in here to speak against sin. It's easy in here, but it's a lot harder at work, isn't it? Because you're faced with people that are involved in it. It's a lot harder outside of these doors. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30. We are living in a day where people don't want the word preached. And of course, we can blame it on the preachers, and, you know, we have to blame it on them. Listen, if God calls us to preach, we've got to preach. God never said it was going to be easy. But there's a reason why the pulpits are filled with errands today. There's a reason why. Because that's what the people want. Isaiah 30 and verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a what? Rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, what? See not. And to the prophets, what? Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us, what? Smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Took my class outside today. I don't know who was running the monitor this morning, but I thought, well, they're going to wonder, what is the preacher doing? Leaving in the middle of church? I took him out to look at the front of the building because our building is about as wide as the ark and about the exact same height to the top of the steeple. So the ark was 75 feet wide. This building is 80. The top of this steeple, it's 46 feet. Top of the ark, it was 45. So when you leave, that's, if you can fill in up to the steeple, that's a big boat. And so I was taking him out there, and I thought maybe whoever was running security would think that maybe we were headed for Charlie's for some smooth ice cream or something. I didn't know, wonder where they thought we were going on this very hot day. But that's what people are calling for. Preach unto us smooth things. Get rid of these pews. Get little tables. Turn down the lights. Have your coffee and donuts or ice cream, maybe. You know, that's the atmosphere that churches are becoming. That's like a nightclub. They have their fog juice and the whole nine yards now. But prophesy unto us smooth things, verse 10. Prophesy not unto us right things, prophesy unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Get rid of this holiness. What do they call us? Legalists. If you have any godly standards for your life, they call you a legalist. That's what they're saying. Prophesy smooth things. We don't want to hear your preaching. We want to hear positive things. And so that's why the United States and the world is filled with Aarons right now. That's what they came. They came to Aaron in Exodus 32. Oh, make us gods, which shall go before us. We want not what has become of Moses. And so what did he do? Okay. Break off all your jewelry and bring it to me. And he made a calf. Never heard one word of preaching from Aaron. And you know what? They weren't murmuring at all against him. Why? Because he was doing exactly what they wanted. But how many times did they murmur against Moses? And of course, against Aaron. As long as Moses was there, you know, Aaron went along with Moses. But when Moses was gone, it was compromise time. So we're living in the Dr. Spock generation. Dr. Spock was what do you call a child doctor? Pediatrician, okay. And he put out his books. And he said, you shouldn't spank your children. If you'll just reward them for the good that they will do, they won't ever be bad. Well, there's one thing Dr. Spock didn't know, that we have a sin nature. And what he didn't realize is that the more you hand to us, the more we demand. That's what we're seeing in America. The more welfare that there has been, now it's turning around. Now people are demanding. It's our right to have access to the internet. Our right? Yes. Every child has to have a computer. It's every child's right to have a laptop. Oh, okay, well, we'll give them to you then. Do you ever notice everything now is a right? We deserve it. You must provide it. Well, thank you, Dr. Spock, for all that you have done for us. Well, God taught differently than Dr. Spock. Notice in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And verse 15. Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That did not say goodness. Now, all of you parents know. It doesn't take you too long to understand that even the sweetest looking baby has a sin nature. It doesn't take you long to find that out. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Ooh, that sounds mean. And you know what? Physicians have a lot of power. Do you know that a physician could declare any one of us insane and have us committed to a place? You say, oh, that could never happen here. What happened in Russia? It could happen here. It could happen here. Look in chapter 13, in verse 24. When you have a doctor saying that you shouldn't spank, that carries a lot of power. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his what? Rod does what? Hateth his son. But he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. Betimes means early. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. This was the same conflict that we found between creation and evolution. The Bible says God created the heaven and the earth. Evolutionists come along and said, no. Just matter, you know, exploded, and we have all of this. Direct conflict. Same thing with rearing a family, really rearing children. A direct conflict came about. God says, if you love your child, use the rod. And of course, use it in the proper way. You don't lose your temper and clobber your child. That's not using discipline correctly. But God says, Proverbs 13, 24, that if we love our children, we will not spare the rod. We will use it when it's necessary. If we love them. And so the problem came, the conflict. And of course then, they tried to outlaw spanking. When we were in Bible college down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, there was one of the college wives disciplined one of their children right in the grocery store. And guess who was waiting for her outside? Yeah, social services. Uh-oh. That's what happens. But you know what happened later on in Dr. Spock's life? He said, we have reared a generation of brats. Parents aren't firm enough with their children for fear of losing their love or losing or incurring their resentment. This is a cruel deprivation that we professionals have imposed on mothers and fathers. Of course, we did it with the best of intentions. We didn't realize until it was too late how our know-it-all attitude was undermining the self-assurance of parents. What was he getting at? Parents know you have to discipline children or they rule you. If you don't rule them, they'll rule you. Parents knew that, but he came along in his self-avowed, only too late, know-it-all attitude as the doctor saying, no, that's cruel and unusual punishment to spank your children when God says it's the loving parent spanks a child when they're naughty. You know what the problem, though, is? That same error, even though Dr. Spock recanted his position, the same error is taught today. Just like in creation evolution. Many things about evolution have been debunked. They've been shown to be false. Some of these so-called skeletons that were, intermediate so-called steps between the different species have been shown to be false. And so someone asked, one of the publishers says, why does this still appear in the books? I forget which one in particular it was. Why are you still publishing this? It's been shown to be a hoax. You know what the publisher's response was? Well, what do you want us to put in its place? Well, that's easy. Why don't you tell them the truth? The Bible. But they can't bear to do that. And they can't bear to take that out. Because what do they put in its place? They have no proof to put in its place. And so they keep printing error. Same thing with families, child rearing. They keep printing error despite the authority Dr. Spock admitted he was wrong. Well, that's what we're facing today. Aren't you glad that we have an authority right here that never changes? God's word. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand, how long? Forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. We have an authority. So, well, there's so much more that we could cover. We'll try to just I'll just try to close this up here. I was told that a Baptist preacher in Michigan preached not smooth things, but preached against the contemporary music and immodesty, and for it he lost a third of his congregation. So doesn't it tell you that we are living in a day where people want to hear smooth things? We are living, Philippians 2, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom we are supposed to shine as lights in the world. We cannot be ashamed of God or of His Word. We just cannot be ashamed. I know it's not popular. I know they'll scoff, just like with a spanking. They not only scoff, but you better be careful where you discipline people. Many people have chosen their words very carefully about when they discipline their children, because little children speak those words in public too. And so just out of fear, they've chosen their words very carefully, what words they use for discipline. This is the generation that only wants smooth things. They don't want the truth. When I was a boy, they used to plaster houses. And then somewhere along the line, they began to drywall. Now, plaster, you got the whole wall wet. You covered the whole wall. You put up board, a gypsum board, but it was smaller pieces. And then the plasterer would plaster the whole wall. And so they come out with drywall. Why did they call it? Because most of the wall is dry. You put up a gypsum board on the wall, but it's large boards, and you only get the joints wet. So they called it drywall. But some of the people, the plasterers, didn't want to switch. They said, that drywall is junk. That's cheap. We want a real wall. We want plaster, the whole thing. Some wouldn't change. My dad worked for one of those men that didn't want to change. He plastered when I was very young. My dad worked for a plasterer. And that man just refused. He wasn't going to get into that Chinese way to fix your wall, you know, drywall. And so he just kind of went out of business. But the people of America forced, for the most part, plasterers out of business unless they were willing to do both, drywall and plaster. And it's the same way in America. That's what they're trying to do with preaching. They're saying, prophesy unto us smooth things. And so they're trying to run preachers out of business. I mean, preachers of the word out of business. So all the preachers now got to take off their tie, got to unbutton their suit coat, got to put on their sandals and their shorts and wear their Hawaiian shirts and buy a gold necklace, grow their hair a little longer. And I mean, that's it. And it's not just their looks that change. It's their message that changes. Prophesy unto us smooth things. And so it's like in England. England was once the missionary center of the world. But today, many churches in England are empty. The buildings are empty, owned by the government now. That's what will happen here, except for they're just turning them into nightclubs. Turning them into nightclubs. And so that's where we're at. When are we going to believe God's word that it's true and quit being ashamed to stand on it no matter what man says? You know, in the last 20 years, man has been telling us it's dangerous to go out in the sun because skin cancer was on the rise. And so a man said, don't you go out in the sun without your sunscreen. You'll get skin cancer. And so, you know, man immediately put on his sunscreen and went out and figured out, well, maybe God did create that evil ball of fire in the sky and maybe it is killing us all. But you know what now? As is so often their advice, they're saying, well, maybe we overdid it. And healthusnews.com, the Archives of Internal Medicine, show that sunlight is a very important source of vitamin D. And guess what? If you're covered with sunscreen, you're blocking it out. You're not getting the vitamin D. And so now they're linking it. The lack of that sunlight and vitamin D leads to sometimes insomnia, can't sleep. Leads to depression. All kinds of things. And so they're saying, well, maybe you should go out a little bit. If you're fair skinned, you know, don't stay out too long, but maybe you should go out a little bit. I hate to say it, but without your sunscreen. Isn't it just like man? Man is never an expert on anything. Get that down. God is the only expert. Whatever man says, mark it down, give him 20 years or so, he'll change it. I can remember when man said that red meat caused cancer. And I can also remember the time when they come out and said, whoops, we found something in red meat that prevents cancer. Ouch. Well, I knew from my Bible, God says all meat is good. Now, I'll agree with them, the fat content, we've talked about that. God says don't eat the fat and don't eat the blood. And so it just means that it should be lean red meat and well done. Don't eat it with the blood, don't eat it with the fat. But in my lifetime, I have seen man turn so many 180 degrees, or actually 360. He just goes in circles. He don't know where he don't know what direction to go. Because even when you show man that he's wrong, he so seldom comes back to this book. So seldom. But we know the truth. We know the truth. So God calls us to shine in Philippians 2 as lights in a dark world, in a crooked and perverse nation. We're to shine. Philippians 2:14 there, we're not to be murmurers. And it's so easy. So easy. Right now, it's so easy to complain. Boy, this has been a hot year. Very humid, hot summer. So easy to complain. But you know what? This is the perfect opportunity to say, yeah. And you know why it's so hot and humid? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about how God created the weather. And let me tell you why it changed. And let me tell you why you need to get right with God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, please help us. This old flesh wants to complain just as much as the world. And Father, I pray that you would forgive us. I pray that you would help us to realize, yes, we suffer in this world because of sin. But Lord, help us to realize that during these times of suffering, it's such an illustration to show the world why there is suffering and the horrible consequences of sin and what it could have been like without sin. And what it will be like someday if they get their sins forgiven. It'll be a paradise again. So, Father, I pray you'd please work in our hearts. Lord, if there should be any here today that are not saved, help them to realize today that the Lord Jesus is the perfect, pure Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, who came to this earth to give his precious, pure blood for our sins, that we might be saved. Lord, help us to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse nation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.